Well, it looks like Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion, might be overturned. What will this mean for abortion in the United States if this happens? What should Catholics do to prepare? We're going to talk about that today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. I just want to encourage people to like and subscribe to the channel. Follow us on social media, wherever you might be. Also, it's May. The 3rd, 2022. And this week, we're doing one of our two annual fundraisers for Crisis Magazine. We're completely donor supported. We don't get big pockets to give us money. And there's no organization like that funding us. It's just donors like you, readers, listeners who donate to us, give monthly donations, $10, $20, $50, or one-time donations as well. So I want to bring that up because I would like to encourage everybody, if you can, to donate to Crisis Magazine, just go to www.crisismagazine.com/support. We would really appreciate it. Anything you can give. And I understand if you can't give right now, I get that. Economy's not doing the greatest right now, let's be honest, inflation and all that. So I would definitely ask whether you can donate or not. Please pray for our apostolate that we might let other people know about the Catholic Church and what's going on in the world and how we can live as Catholics in this world today. Well, today, I mean, this is incredible. I had a whole podcast planned for today that has nothing to do with Roe v. Wade. I had it all ready, but I scrapped it completely. Maybe I'll do it again later this week or next week because the big news happened last night. I was watching a baseball game, actually, and all of a sudden I saw it pop up that a draft of the majority opinion for the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade was leaked. Now, just to be clear what we mean by this, during the process when the court is deciding how they're going to rule in a certain case, they go back and forth with each other and they write drafts of what exactly their opinions are. They start to get a sense of, okay, how are they going to vote? Who's going to vote which way? And they start to write this because obviously most of the big decisions are released in June. So they have to have time to prepare for this. And so what this was is Justice Alito, he wrote what is potentially the majority opinion for this, the Dobbs case is what it's for, overturn. And basically it overturns Roe. It's completely 100% the best possible decision I can imagine. I mean, I will admit I haven't read the 98-page draft, but enough of it I've seen that this is what we pro-lifers have been hoping and praying for decades, the overturn of Roe v. Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood, which is another decision that helped enshrine abortion in this country. So a few of the passages that I thought that stood out to me, I mean, it just states explicitly, we hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the one in which the defenders of Roe and Casey now chiefly rely, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. This is what we've been saying for years, that if nothing else, Roe v. Wade is completely unconstitutional. It violates the Constitution of the United States. Obviously, as Catholics, we know it's morally reprehensible. It's a tragedy. It's brought upon a great Holocaust with millions of innocent babies who have died because of it. But it also is legally, it has no standing in this country. And that's what this decision is saying, the draft of this decision. Further, it states, Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Amen. Preach it, Alito. Its reasoning was exceptionally weak, and the decision has had damaging consequences. And far from bringing about a national settlement of the abortion issue, Roe and Casey have inflamed debate and deepened division. It is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. We'll talk about that in a minute, the whole bringing it back to the states. The inescapable conclusion is that a right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition. You got that right. It goes on to say, on the contrary, an unbroken tradition of prohibiting abortion on pain of criminal punishment persisted from the earliest times. Roe was on a collision course with the Constitution from the day it was decided, and Casey perpetuated its errors, and the errors do not concern some arcane corner of the law of little importance for the American people. Rather, wielding nothing but raw judicial power, the court usurped the power to address a question of profound moral and social importance that the Constitution unequivocally leaves for the people. This is something that we pro-lifers have been saying. It was basically seven men, I think it was a 7-2 decision, seven men in robes decided for the entire country something that for millennium had been considered to be immoral by so many different cultures, particularly the Judeo-Christian foundations this country was founded upon. And it says near the end, it says, we therefore hold that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey must be overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion must be returned to the people and their elected representatives. And so this is stunning. I mean, honestly, this is beyond our wildest dreams and what we were hoping for. If this happens, if this draft actually becomes the decision of the court, this is everything we've wanted for so long as pro-lifers. So I will admit, my reaction last night was, first of all, was just, I was stunned. I couldn't believe that this was actually a possibility. Because let's be honest, those of us who have been around the pro-life movement for a long time have grown cynical about the idea of the courts doing anything or the political system doing anything to overturn Roe. I figured it would be generations before that happened, and we would need much more, many more people in this country pro-life before that would even be a possibility. I was so excited though last night, I couldn't even get to sleep. And I'll be honest, when I was texting my older kids who were out of the house and telling them about this, and I was tearing up just thinking about all the work that people I know have done over the years. I mean, the whole abortion culture in this country has been something that I have been fighting against for so long, and other people have been fighting much more than I ever have. In fact, it's one of the reasons I became Catholic. In 1990, so this is 32 years ago, I really started to recognize the humanity of the unborn, and I realized that something needed to be done to stop legalized abortion in this country. And during that time, I was a United Methodist, and I found out the United Methodist Church had a pro-abortion stand. And I realized I can't be part of a church like that. And that's what got me looking elsewhere. And eventually I realized the only church I could depend on to be consistently pro-life and always pro-life was the Catholic Church. Now, that's not the only reason I became Catholic. There's a lot more to it than that. But that was definitely what got me looking. And so for me, this is a big deal. Early on, during that time, I was very involved in activists in the early 90s, activism. I've prayed in front of clinics for a long time. Back then, I tried to do more political. I did some political action. I've been arrested in front of clinics before. And I've done almost nothing compared to a lot of people I know. I know people who've been in jail for years because of their nonviolent stance against abortion. I know people who have spent just countless hours in front of abortion clinics, counseling women, praying the rosary. They're week in, week out, doing so much to try to stop abortion. I know people who have spent so much time working at crisis pregnancy centers to try to bring solutions to women so they wouldn't choose death for their children. And I just know people who have sacrificed so much for the cause of life. And thinking about that hard work and everything they've done, it got me very emotional. Let me turn off my phone here real quick. It got me very emotional, and I admit that. And so, I mean, just one example. Back in 1993, I went to World Youth Day in Denver when the Pope John Paul II came to Denver, and I it was kind of funny. We went there. I was part of a pro-life group at the time that was doing activism, and I went there simply to sell T-shirts for my pro-life group to raise money. And so it's just turn off my phone here. Sorry. And so I that's kind of how involved I was. And I've always been involved in pro-life work since then, but not as much as I was in the early 90s. I was much more. But like I said, this is incredible, joyous news. This is something we've been waiting for. And I will be honest, after Casey, cynicism set in my heart. I did not expect ever that Roe v. Wade would be overturned in the system we currently have. Because time and time again, we've been disappointed by Republican appointments. Time and time again, we've seen how justices that were appointed by Republicans, presidents, end up being a great disappointment. I mean, even the Chief Justice right now, Roberts, is a great disappointment. He's the one who helped usher in legalized gay marriage. So I did not think that we would see a time in which all of a sudden this court would overturn Roe. Even with the more conservative justices, I still didn't think we had enough to make it happen. And we still, and I just want to be clear, we still don't have it. It hasn't happened yet. But the fact is, it looks like it could happen. So now, that being said, what does this mean? What does this actually mean now that we know this? A couple things. First is, as Catholics, we need to continue to fast and pray. I know ever since the Dobbs decision, a lot of Catholics have been praying novenas, been fasting for the overturn of Roe. We can't stop now because it actually hasn't happened. And so we need to continue to fast and pray. There's no doubt that the demonic forces are out and they are doing everything they can to make sure this does not happen, that this decision does not see the light of day. And so we need to combat those demonic forces with prayer and fasting. That's the only way we're going to win. If we don't pray, if we don't fast, the demonic forces will win. They will find a way to make this not happen. So we have to do that. Secondly, if Roe v. Wade is actually overturned, what that means isn't that abortion in this country becomes illegal. What it means is it goes back to the states. And I found this chart, actually Reuters, that showed that it sounds like 21 states right now currently have laws or constitutional amendments that would show an inclination to ban abortion if Roe were overturned. Some of them already have it in the books that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it automatically will be illegal in their state. Other places have certain restrictions on abortion that are pending, whether or not Roe v. Wade is overturned. And so, for example, here in Ohio, they have something pending that basically would make a 6-week ban happen. Any abortions in the first 6 weeks, I'm sorry, after 6 weeks would be banned. But so that's good news. That's more than we have now, because as you know, we have Texas, and that's about it with a ban after, I think it's 6 weeks or something like that, after the heartbeat is detected. But other than that, most states abortion is legal, mostly through the entire pregnancy of the mother. Now, obviously, there are going to be states like California, New York, and others where abortion is going to be legal, and they're going to make sure it's legal in law, and they'll have the votes to do that. And that's a tragedy, and those babies deserve to live just as much as the babies in pro-life states, in the red states, so to speak. But what this does then is it makes the battle for the unborn more realistic and more winnable. Because what we can do is we can win battles in certain states, and then we can grow from that. Because right now, the problem has always been Roe. Roe has always been the first step that has to topple before we really can have any legal protection for the unborn. Because as long as Roe is in effect, and Casey as well, as long as they're in effect, most states cannot pass laws that would protect the unborn in any real fashion. And so if Roe's overturned, we really have a chance that now we can start making where certain states will be pro-life, whereas others would not. Now, I also think that what this could do is it could lead to a breakup of the United States. Now, for those who have followed me know that I'm actually a fan of that happening. I actually think our country is too big to succeed. I think we're clearly too diverse of a nation. And by diverse, I don't mean by race. I mean by ideology, by belief, by the way we live, to be a United States anymore. I think that the breakup of the United States would be a good thing. And I could see this fostering that. I could see this furthering the breakup of the United States, because what would happen is we're going to see states that are going to legalize abortion through the entire 9 months. We're going to see states that are going to legalize abortion maybe only after a certain number of weeks. We're going to see states that are going to make abortion completely illegal. And so people are going to drift to those states that are naturally more aligned with their values. And I think that is just another step in the process of the potential breakup of this country. Like I said, I think that's can be a good thing. Yes, I do know I have a podcast about this. I've talked about this in the past. I do know there can be a lot of negative consequences to such an action. But I think ultimately it would be better than our current situation. Another thing is that we cannot underestimate the response of the pro-abortion left. Abortion is the chief sacrament of today's left. It is the one thing they will all agree on and they will fight to the death. They will not allow abortion, their abortion regime, to topple easily. They will do anything, and they will stop at nothing, and I mean nothing, to keep it in place. After all, if you're talking about people who are supporting the mass murder of innocent babies, then clearly there's no boundaries that they're not going to cross in order to keep that in place. It's not like they have some moral compass that's going to keep them from doing certain things. They will do anything. And I do think this means that the security of the current justices on the court needs to be taken seriously. I think that there is definitely the possibility that there could be an attack on one or more of the justices before this comes out. After all, like I said, why wouldn't somebody do that? If you think it's okay to murder innocent unborn babies in mass quantities or even one, why wouldn't you think that an attack on maybe one justice who is going to overturn this would not be justified? And so I really think that the response, I've already seen it. I saw it on Twitter last night, just the craziness, the over-the-top ridiculousness of what people were saying, as if this was the institution of some totalitarian dictatorship by this decision to basically give the states back the rights that they had before. Now, I just also want to say that I think the long-term goal is a constitutional amendment that explicitly protects the rights of the unborn for all 9 months of pregnancy. And so I do think that is the ultimate goal. But just bringing it back to the states. So if you're in California and you're freaking out about this, it doesn't change your life one bit if Roe versus Wade is overturned. You can still get an abortion. All your friends can still get abortions in your state. So it doesn't. So all the Hollywood actors and actresses who are freaking out, it doesn't change their life any at all. They're still going to be able to get their abortions if they want them. They're still going to be able to kill their babies if they want to. But so I definitely think, though, the left is going to go insane on this one. We saw in the summer of 2020 rioting over the George Floyd incident and Black Lives Matter and perceived racism and all that. I think that will be nothing in comparison to what could happen this summer if Roe v. Wade is overturned. If this decision it stands as the draft says it says, as the draft currently stands, then they're just going to freak out. And I mean demonically freak out. I'll tell a story here. I can't remember if I've told it before, but back in the day, when I was in college, I remember going to an abortion clinic to pray outside. It was near the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. This was in probably 1991, 1992, something like that. I wasn't at the March for Life that year. We were praying at a local abortion clinic. And so there's a lot of pro-lifers there, a lot of pro-abortion people there, a lot of crazed pro-abortion people there. And so we were praying, our college group was praying, and then the clinic closed at 6 p.m. on Friday. And the police were there to keep everything in check. And at 6 o'clock, most of the pro-lifers left, most of the pro-abortion people left, and the police left. We continued to pray, however. We just felt like, hey, let's just continue to pray here. We know the abortion clinic's closed, but we really need to pray. And so we continued to pray and started getting dark. You know, obviously, it probably was already dark, around January 22nd at 6 p.m. in the evening, around here, it would get pretty dark. Some pro-abortion people stayed. And it was fascinating. After the police left, after there was no media there or anything, that they started to chant very demonic things towards us. I would never repeat them here on the podcast or anywhere. But they were very demonic. And I remember looking in the eyes of one of the young men. It was mostly college students on the pro-abort side. I knew he was possessed. And I don't say that lightly. I've never thought that about anybody else before. But seeing that person, seeing the look in their eye, his soul was dead and he was possessed. And the things they said clearly made they were possessed. Fortunately, there was no physical violence that night. We prayed and we ended up leaving peacefully. But I knew then how demonic was the forces for abortion in this country and around the world. And so they will stop at nothing, as I've said. And so I think we just really need to realize that. And we need to, as Catholics, prepare prepare for that? Multiple ways. First of all, obviously, spiritually, we have to prepare. If you are not in a state of grace, if you are not, do not have a life of prayer, if you are not praying and fasting on a regular basis, if you're not going to Mass and the sacraments regularly, you need to do that now. You need to get your own house in order. And then from there, that base you then build upon, and you're now praying for others. You're praying for the conversion of sinners. You're praying for the conversion of people like President Biden, Nancy Pelosi, the justices that are going to vote to keep Roe, all the crazed people who are going to go, who are just going to go insane this summer if Roe is overturned. You need to pray for them. Pray for protection of people who work in pro-life organizations. Pray for the protection of the Supreme Court justices. Pray for the protection of politicians who are pro-life. Pray for all of this. We need to spiritually be prepared for what could happen. We also have to be physically prepared. What I mean by that is, are you prepared for disruptions in the supply chain? Prepared for a potential civil unrest in downtowns, in cities? Are you prepared for that? And you need to be prepared for things like that as well. Now, I know this might sound alarmist to some people, and I get that. But I don't know how you can't have lived through the last few years and not subscribe to a somewhat alarmist view of the world. After we saw what happened in 2020 from so many different angles, I don't put anything past what the leftist rulers will do in order to keep their power. And abortion keeps them in power like nothing else does. And so we really have to hunker down and be ready for this. I also think it's very possible that there's going to be the leak itself is an obvious case of trying to undermine the decision before it even happens. And we have to be ready for any of that type of funny business. I think the fact that it was leaked was a way to try to change the decision before it happens, or even to just prepare blue states to get their laws in order so abortion is legal when this decision comes down. Also, maybe to try to push for a pack the court type of thing. I think one thing is sure, that the left will use this to help their very, very poor prospects in November. The fact is, it looks like before this came out, it looks like that there was going to be a conservative sweep this November. And now, possibly not. This could end up leading to some Democratic wins because they will get their base fired up for this issue that's so important. And like I said, it's their chief sacrament. I think that could happen. So that's why we need to be praying and also working and preparing for those possibilities. Now, one thing I do want to note, and this is something that I fully am willing to acknowledge. In 2016, I did not trust Donald Trump. I did not think that if he were elected, he would appoint justices of the Supreme Court that would overturn Roe. I just thought that was ludicrous to think that. And also, frankly, I didn't trust any Republican to do that from history. I mean, this wasn't something that came to me just overnight. It was from decades of being disappointed by Republican appointees. And so seeing how disappointed I was with them, I did not hold hope that Donald Trump would do better. Yet he did. I was wrong. I was completely wrong. Donald Trump's appointees, it looks like, will be the difference in Roe v. Wade being overturned. And so I think if this really does happen, objectively, you just have to say the election of Donald Trump in 2016 was the thing that finally led to Roe v. Wade being overturned. I would never believe that in 2016. And so I have to give credit where credit is due. We have to give credit to President Trump for his appointments, if it is true that they're going to vote to overturn Roe. And we have to give that credit. And so when he runs if he runs in 2024, that has to be something we put in consideration when voting. It doesn't mean necessarily we have to vote for him. Maybe in the primaries, maybe we trust somebody like DeSantis or somebody else even more than we trust Trump. But it has to be something in his favor. We can't just dismiss it like it didn't happen. And so as Catholics, I just want to, I think I'm going to wrap it up here, but I just want to encourage everybody to continue to fast and pray, to rejoice. There's nothing wrong with receiving good news and being happy about it. It doesn't mean all of a sudden now we sit back and we act like it's already happened, like the Roe's already overturned, or that there's nothing to do after Roe's overturned. It's the first necessary step to making abortion unthinkable in this country. Let me repeat that. It's the first necessary step to making abortion unthinkable in this country. It's not the only step. It's just the first one, and it is necessary because without Roe being overturned, like I said before, all our other efforts are not going to amount to a whole bunch. That is the first necessary step. So we don't rest on our laurels, but we are very happy right now. I think we should be very thankful. And let's not be like the nine lepers who were healed by our Lord and didn't go back to thank him. I think we need to thank our Lord for this step and that it would come to fruition next month with an actual Supreme Court decision. I also think it's reasonable to connect this with the consecration to Our Lady done back on March 25th by Pope Francis and so many bishops and so many people around the world. Our Lady at Fatima asked that Russia be consecrated, that its errors would be overcome, and peace would come onto the world. Now, obviously, it's hard to just connect a Roe v. Wade to Russia, but at the same time, Russia was one of the first countries to legalize abortion under the Soviet Union back in the 1920s, and abortion did become something that spread throughout the world. And if there's one chief error in this world, it is the idea that abortion is something that is moral or should be legal. And so if nothing else, the graces that poured down from so many millions of Catholics praying to Our Lady and uniting themselves with Pope Francis and the other bishops in consecrating Russia and Ukraine and the rest of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I don't think we can discount that this could be one of the results of that consecration. We never know exactly how God's going to work, but if we're faithful to him, he will work. And I do think this very possibly is a work of God in response to so many people begging him for Our Lady's mantle of protection over the world. So continue to pray and fast. Continue to beg our Lord for the protection of those most innocent babies who are in danger of being killed by abortion. Let's do everything we can to make abortion unthinkable again in this country. Okay, everybody, that's it for now. Until next time, God love you.